Welcome to the TGCP podcasting show. This is your host, Joseph McCarthy, speaking, and today we have an exciting show for you guys. We have four main topics to tackle this day, and as a special treat, I have my best friend, Benjamin Knox, over. He goes to my school. He is a friend of mine and my partner, CJ Reimer, who unfortunately could not make it tonight since he's got other things that he's got to deal with our Twitter and podcast. But we got four main topics, as I said. And those four main topics are Far Cry 3, Assassin's Creed 3, Grand Theft Auto 5, and then just some gaming news and rumors. And so basically some quick overview of what's going to happen. Far Cry 3, we're going to be going over the graphics, the plot, the story, and some gameplay. And then I'm going to give my final thoughts, and basically what I'm going to be, what I liked about it, what I didn't like, stuff like that, and then we're going to give it a rating. And then, for Assassin's Creed 3, we're going to go over the same stuff, graphics, plot, story, gameplay, but with these thoughts, I have my pal CJ, Ben over, and he's going to be helping with, basically, he's going to give us a little discussion time. It'll probably last about 5 to 10 minutes with that. And then we got Grand Theft Auto 5. We're going to go over some news, the engine, and gameplay. And then, finally, we got some gaming news and rumors, and we'll get into more detail with that when that comes up towards the end of the show. I don't think you've gotten a chance to hear my friend Benjamin. Here you are, Ben.
Hey guys, what's up? Glad to be here.
Well, glad to have you. So, start off, Far Cry 3. I bought Far Cry 3 about basically the day it came out. So, I've been playing it for a very, very long time. It came out December 4th, as most of you have known, in 2012. It was actually one of the most superb games this year, or last year, for Ubisoft. And its graphics, basically, it uses this engine called Dunia. And Dunia, it's actually a spectacular engine, to be honest. It's got dynamic weather, so basically, weather that comes in at a certain point, well, not a certain point, more like weather coming in at a time for, it might bring rain. It's an automatic thing. It's a cycle. It does it at certain points and some other points. And then it's got basically realistic fire. So if you guys have ever played Far Cry in any of them, 1, 2, or 3, there is fire, and you know that fire is, like, if you light someone place up, the fire goes, and it, like, attracts towards the entire field. And then you have volumetric lighting, and volumetric lighting is basically the lighting that is the sun rays. So you know how when in games you'll look at the sun, it'll have this crappy, like, ring around it. Well, this one, it shows the rays spreading apart. It looks way realistic. Then, to add to the fire, it's realistic fire, so it'll, like, spread and stuff with wind. And then, excuse me there, we have physics. So, you know, basic physics, like jumping over rocks, moving objects, moving dead pieces, people, stuff like that. It's simple little stuff. Then you got full day and night with this engine, plus a very superb music system. I mean, if any of you have ever heard this music in this particular game, it is just more than superb. It is, like, over the charts. It's just a good, well-made game. Then you got large player maps. That ain't that much of a big deal, because basically anymore, most games have large player playing maps. But here's a key feature I want to touch up on. Non-scripted AI. If you guys have ever played a game and you've noticed enemies being stupid and crap, usually it's caused by poor AI, poor scripting. But with this particular engine, it allows the AI to control itself. So in other words, how can I put this? The AI isn't made by the person. It's made by the engine. The engine is, you tell the engine what to do, and then it tells the AI what to do. So, just wanted to tell you a little bit about that, since that's actually one of the most interesting features about this Dunia engine. Then you got indirect lighting, which is basically just lighting that's not directed towards you. And then special effects, I swear. That's like in every engine, I hope. There's special effects in every engine. But here's where it comes even much better. That was just Dunia engine number one. That was used for the Far Cry 1 and Far Cry 2 games, I believe. Maybe it was just Far Cry 1. But the Dunia 2 engine, much more updated, is in fact one of the most superb engines I have ever seen. Except, I have to admit, Frostbite engine is much, much better. But in Dunia 2, they added the new water technology. So, you know how in Far Cry you'd go in the water. It was good for its day. But from now, it's just kind of crap. Yeah, I just have to admit that. It's kind of crap. But in this one, it's more realistic because, like, your arms are moving and the water's moving, and when, like, weather comes in, the water, it looks like the droplets are hitting and everything. It's just amazing. But then, let's move on. There's an updated version of the weather. It's called realistic weather, if you guys know what that is. It's just, you know, you'll see the clouds coming towards you, and when they go over you, it'll rain, and then they'll go on, that type of thing. But, to continue on, new AI. This is actually pretty cool. They have made it to which they don't even need to tell the engine what to do. The engine just does it, and it tells the AI what to do. I mean, it is the best AI I've ever seen. Just awesome. It's just awesome. Just plain and simple, awesome. To continue on, there's new animation system. New animation system. Basically, that is, you know, animations, you know, movement, stuff like that. It's just awesome. But to continue on, since we got a lot to continue, or do, facial expressions. Facial expressions, you know, just normal, much better. Motion capture, not much to touch up on there. And that's basically it of the graphics for Far Cry 3. Just to continue on, the plot, basically the story. You're this guy, crap, I forgot his name, sorry guys, I haven't played the game in a long time, but you're the main character. You and your friends are basically captured by these pirates on an island. You went skydiving, and then you parachuted down, you landed on Pirate Island, and they capture you. And the main antagonist in this one is called Hoyt. But the second main antagonist is Voss, the one that you first meet. He is the one who captures you and then talks to you and stuff. He's the one that is just an annoying little twerp, in my case. But basically, you continue through the game, you progress through it, and it explains a lot about what's happening. You try to free your friends from everywhere. They have them in different places. They're like shipping them off into slavery, stuff like that. But finally, you meet this, at the beginning of the game, when you, like, you know, fall into the ocean and everything, river, there's this one guy, and he, picks you up, and he puts on this, it's called a tattoo, and what it does is it, basically, it's a spiritual sign of what the, what do you call it, it's a spiritual sign of this tribal unit. And the tribal unit gives you these special abilities like speed, agility, protection, stuff like that, fires, resistances, all sorts of things. And you use this ability to defeat the pirates and stuff. But later on in the game, your friends find this boat and they want to leave. But unfortunately, you don't want to because you want to save this island. So you basically stay behind and you do all sorts of little things for these other people. You finally get into Hoyt's operations. And with Hoyt's operations, you use their this new recruit's suit and you like blend in and stuff. But you get towards the end of the game and stuff. I'm not going to spoil it for you guys, but basically that's a little simplified story. Gameplay, there's not much to say besides there's a lot of running, climbing, sliding, shooting. It's basically an open world first person shooter RPG. It's a very awesome game. And to finish with Far Cry 3, me and my friend CJ gave it a 9.75. So please tell us what you think we should have given it. Feedback from the audience is always good. But we have to continue on, and our next topic is Assassin's Creed 3. And for today, as I said, I have Ben over. He's going to help with the final thoughts of the game, and basically we're going to discuss it in a little discussion. So first, start off, graphics. It uses Anvil Next. Anvil Next is a newer version of the AC2 Anvil and the AC Revelations and, Brotherhood. And basically those are the three main that use the Anvil engine. And then you got the later versions, which is AC3 and AC3 Liberation for the Vita. Now, AC3, it uses Anvil Next, as I said, which introduces a new weather system, which, if you guys know, there's naval combat. That naval combat is storm. It brings in storms, lightning. It's actually a pretty good setup for the game, since it's colonies, it's on the ocean, stuff like that. There's been some AI upgrades, and here's the key thing towards this new engine: population sizes. So in the early games, you had like large cities, and there's these the engine couldn't support more than around, I believe, 5.5 million characters on one map. Anvil Next has updated that, and it can support around 5.5 billion characters in one area. That is like, oh my god, I don't even know how it doesn't even lag. That's how epic this engine is. And then it just adds some other special effects. So I'm going to quickly just go over a little bit of the story, and then some of the gameplay, and then we're going to have a discussion with Ben. So the story. Basically, you're this one guy called Connor. And Connor is the main assassin in this version. He is the one who determines the fate of Desmond in Desmond's final attempt of saving humanity. So you have to go through a whole bunch of series of things and learning about Connor's life from when he was a little kid all the way up to when he was a 24-year-old, I believe, somewhere around there, 26. But basically you just have to, it's a great story. I mean, it goes along with a lot of the previous games, especially Revelations explained a lot for AC3. But the main thing I want to touch up on AC3 is Desmond. You get to experience a lot of modern day things with Desmond's missions. And with that, it's just so awesome to just use a modern assassin and learn more about his heritage and stuff. But that's just a little bit of the story. I don't want to spoil it, as I told you in the other one, but I do want to tell you a little bit on gameplay, which is basically simplified stuff. It's just regular Assassin's Creed. Fun gameplay. But to hurry this up, I need to start the discussion with Ben. So here is my pal Ben. He's just going to talk a little bit about it. Here you go, Ben.
Alright, thank you very much, Joseph. Well, as he said, Assassin's Creed is absolutely beautiful. Assassin's Creed 3 is absolutely beautiful. I mean, it's come along really well, the series. So, you know, I mean, the design is great. Connor is an amazing character. But if you liked Connor, I mean, if you liked Ezio, and you liked all his charisma and all his attitudes toward life, I mean, he was absolutely a nice character. Connor is not very charismatic. He gets what he wants kind of a little bit by force, but he is still someone you can relate to. Connor doesn't have a really easy life, and for those of you that haven't played the game, I'm not going to spoil it for you what happens, but early life is going to be kind of hard for him. As Joseph mentioned, there are the naval missions. Naval missions did work out pretty good. When I first started doing this, I'm like, man, I don't really think it's going to be that great. Naval missions worked out pretty good, and they are mandatory. Well, some of them in the main storyline are mandatory, but there's a couple more that I have played and that are absolutely great. Now, on to desert missions. If you remember in the past Revelations game, you had that one thing where you built the land and then you went through Desmond's memories. Those were just optional. You didn't have to play them. In this one, Desmond's missions are mandatory. But don't worry, they're not going to suck. They're absolutely beautiful. Like Joseph said, it's a modern-day assassin. And I am going to tell you one thing. You're going to do a leap of faith, and it's pretty awesome.
And basically, that's true. It's pretty awesome. Ben did touch up on a bit of what Desmond does and like how he works and stuff. But to be honest, Ben, was it that superb to what Ubisoft was... I don't know, trying to go for towards the audience?
I would suppose so, you know. I mean, and this is Assassin's Creed 3. In the past games, we've barely messed with Desmond at all. In the first game, all we did was have him sit on the Animus, and we went in, and then we popped out, took a nap, came right back. Assassin's Creed 2, we had a little more action with him, but not that much. Brotherhood, you could explore the town, you could jump around, do whatever you wanted, and then Revelations, you're stuck in the Animus, and you can just kind of explore the little Animus data world that you're in. But in Assassin's Creed 3, you get to have more interaction with Desmond. You get to see really who he is. You get to see what he's learned from Altair, Ezio, and Connor. I mean, honestly, I think it works out for the game.
Alright, well, so basically you're saying that what Ubisoft was pitching for, people were getting out of.
Right.
Ben, I have another question, and many of you probably have been wondering this since it is a podcast. What do you think about the game?
I definitely think it's a good improvement on the other Assassin's games. It's really good. It's got a good storyline. It works well. Gameplay is awesome. The fighting technique's great. I think it just all works out pretty well.
Well, that's all we have for now for AC3. Thank you, Ben, for coming. Hope the podcaster listeners enjoyed it. A little bit later on, we'll be hearing from Ben again. So just stay tuned. To move on, we're going to Grand Theft Auto 5. Yes, everyone's been waiting for this game, especially me, since I'm a Grand Theft Auto geek, nerd, whatever you want to call it. First off, release date. We all thought it was coming out spring 2013, didn't we? Tell me if you weren't, because I knew I was waiting for 2013. Spring, that is. But here's the thing. It's not coming out in spring. It's got a little bit more touch-up work, Rockstar says, and it's coming out, actually, September. And if you ask me, that's a long time from now. I mean, if you remember, Borderlands 2 just came out on, like, September 18th. This is coming out September 7th or something. Man, that's far away. Summer? I mean, who wants to wait that long? But that's their choice. if it means they're going to make the game better, that I'm okay with that. Engine, basically, it's just the Rage engine made by Rockstar. Not much to really talk about there. They haven't really shown that much gameplay. I mean, they've shown, like, little clips of people walking down and some friendlies going, but they haven't shown actual game fighting. They've only shown animations of people, like, walking down the streets, cars moving, airplanes, boats, all sorts of stuff like that. And then, in screenshots, they've shown actual action. And you know what? I'm going to have our friend Ben give a little input about what he thinks Grand Theft Auto 5 should be, and what he, if he does want, basically, the game, if he even, what his particular, I don't know what you call it, expectations of what he wants out of this game, since they're basically waiting until September.
Alright, yes, thank you, Joseph. Well, first, I gotta say that I basically, Grand Theft Auto was the first real video game that I ever played. I've been in love with it. Unfortunately, I've just been caught up in so many other game series. Unfortunately, I haven't been able to play the entire series. But I have played a little bit of Grand Theft Auto 4, which Joseph here knows. And, you know, I definitely think it was great. Grand Theft Auto, I thought, was a good game. Like I said, I haven't played it in a while, so, you know, I can't remember everything about it. But, you know, if they keep it going, they keep the mechanics going and everything like that, it should work all right.
Alright, Ben, thanks for your input. As he said, the mechanics and everything, yes, I agree with him, but I want to see better gameplay, a better setup. I don't want this same, you know, get in a car, go down, shoot someone, come back, finish the mission. Let's add something, guys. What do you think? You know what, leave some comments and tell us what you want, since they're waiting until September 7th. But we have to move on now to gaming news. So, start off with Ratchet & Clank Full Frontal Assault. You guys all know what that is. It's basically a little skirmish fighting game, except in the Ratchet & Clank universe. So, the PS3 version came out about, I think in October-ish, or not October-ish, sorry, November, or maybe it was December, one of those 2 months. And it said that we were going to get a Vita version in January. No specific date, just that we were going to get one. And apparently, it's been delayed. Now, I don't know about you, but that kind of makes me scared, because if they're going to be, you know, I don't know, screwing with it, and maybe it's not good for the Vita, so they shouldn't even dare make it. But I mean, those who have bought it, they paid for a Vita game. They should be getting a Vita game, if you guys know what I mean, where I'm coming from this. If you just want to tell me what you think about it, I mean, seriously, what's the big delay? But to move on, Killzone 4. Now, you all know what Killzone 4 is if you played the series. You're on a planet and you're against the Helgon and everything. It's a cool game. Killzone 4, it's been rumored. Yes, rumored. It might be coming to the PS4. You heard me straight. PS4. Not 3, 4. So could this mean, if this game is coming out this, if it is, the rumors are correct, if it's coming out maybe this late December, early January, could it mean the PlayStation 4 will be coming out this late December or early January? I don't know. You guys have to tell me. But I do have one idea. This will be epic. That's my idea. If you guys know what epic means and everything. But to continue on, Obsidian, Mass Effect, BioWare, Mass Effect, it's a new installment, except they don't want it called Mass Effect 4, because that would cause some certain confusion, they say. The producers of Mass Effect. So could that mean a whole new series from Mass Effect 4, except set in the Mass Effect universe? I don't know. Tell me. I don't know. But to move on. Rumors. Yes, you heard me correct. Rumors. So, apparently, Obsidian is making... Well, sorry. Apparently, Obsidian is... the rumor says Obsidian is going to be making a Star Wars The Old Republic type game. It's not set in the era of The Old Republic, but it's going to be like, you know, a few years afterwards, or maybe 20 years afterwards. 20,000, I don't know. But apparently it's not in the Knights of the Old Republic universe. So what does this mean? It means there could be an epic RPG coming out, just like the MMO that just came out about 2 years ago, maybe? It was 2011, sometime there. Called Star Wars The Old Republic, just playing out. Oh, I'm sorry guys, I got that wrong. It'll be set sometime after the Knights of the Old Republic, not The Old Republic. Old Republic is the MMO. I got the two mixed up. Sorry, guys. But, basically, I don't know what it could be. It could be like a, Oblivion, because, you know, it is being made by Obsidian. They did create Elder Scrolls. They also created Fallout. So, what do you guys think? Do you think it could be something, big, something little, something... just a game that, I'm bored, I'll buy it. Something like that. You guys tell me. But, to end our podcast, I just wanted to say thank you to you guys, for following us. Please keep telling your friends to follow us. Go on to SoundCloud, listen to our episodes. I mean, they're great episodes. And, I hope you guys enjoy, basically, this particular episode, since it is coming out tonight, and I'm sorry it's a little bit late, 6:12 as of right now, and, I do want to apologize to, a group of people, particularly Xbox fans and stuff. I know in my first podcast episode 2 I said the Xbox was basically crap. I just wanted to take that back. The Xbox is not crap. If it was crap, no one would be playing it. I mean, even I own an Xbox, so if I'm gonna sit there and mock it, I'm basically mocking myself. But I just wanted to apologize for that, since we have a lot of followers and viewers of the Xbox who like the Xbox, and we're going to bring you news about the Xbox. I just wanted to apologize, and please continue to follow us. I mean, it was just a slip-up. I didn't mean it at all. just wanted to say thank you once more. Hope you all have a nice night. Next, I think maybe tonight, no, tomorrow we're going to be having a 1 hour special. It's just over basically gaming and stuff. Since me and CJ can't meet together, we're going to be doing it half me, and we're going to do half him and then combine the two into one podcast. It'll be around an hour, hopefully. We're going to talk a lot about gaming and stuff. And I just hope you guys, you know, enjoy this one. Please rate it. I mean, I need some comeback feedback. I don't care if it's criticism, if it's poor feedback. I just need to know what I can touch up on and what I can do better for you, the audience, to love. And I hope you guys enjoy the rest of your night. You guys and, have a nice night, and well, just see ya. And Ben just wants to say one more thing, I think.
Oh, yeah. Joseph, I really do appreciate you having me come on. I definitely did enjoy it. Hopefully I can come back in the future. Thanks a lot, man.
Alrighty. Well, that's it of our show. And we'll see you guys.